Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. We have learned that Paul deals with a major problem in the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, at least the first part of the chapter, which is the problem, the scandal really, of Christians taking Christians to court instead of settling their issues within the church. And that he deals with very, very deftly, we might say, in the first 8 verses of the chapter, and takes these people to task for putting their own self-interest, their own material interests, ahead of the interests of Christ and the testimony of the church. They were more interested in their own personal advantage than they were in the advantage of Christ and his kingdom. That is a problem. That is a serious problem. And so Paul deals with that. But then, surprisingly, it takes a turn in verses 9 through 11, where Paul broadens out his rebuke from simply the problem of taking one another to court to a whole list of sins that he says, if they are continually practiced, if they are not removed from one's lifestyle, which might be the best way to put it, I'm not saying that they will necessarily be totally and completely removed from one's life, but if they're not removed from one's lifestyle, then that person evidently has never been regenerated and will not go to heaven. That would be shocking to many people in our day, but that's exactly what Paul says, and he is, of course, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ and is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And so, like all portions of God's Word, we need to take this section very, very seriously. So please continue with me as we move our way down through this list. This is Wednesday, September 1. The year is flying by. Thank you for being a radio listener to the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for your financial help that keeps us teaching on this station. So he says in verse 9, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" General statement. I think we all would recognize the truth of that statement. An unrighteous person will not inherit the kingdom of God because he has to be cleansed of his unrighteousness. There are the unrighteous, there are the righteous. The righteous are those who have been made righteous by the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, by Christ bearing the punishment for those people's sins upon himself upon the cross, and by the justification, the justifying of those people before the judgment bar of God, and declaring them righteous on the basis that Christ's perfect righteousness is imputed to their account. It's a wonderful thing. So there are the righteous and there are the unrighteous, and this tells us that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Since there are only 2 categories, righteous, unrighteous, the righteous are the redeemed, the unrighteous are the unredeemed, the righteous are the regenerate, the unrighteous are the unregenerate, those who fit into the category of the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. You have to come to Jesus for the cleansing flood Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And so, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? But after making that general statement, then Paul really gets down to the nitty-gritty, and he goes through a list of things that fall into the category of the unrighteous. He doesn't just leave it for our own evaluation, our own estimation, our own ideas about what it means to be unrighteous. But he goes on and says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Wow. Now, thankfully, he goes on to say in verse 11, and such were some of you. So he's certainly not saying anybody who ever practiced any of these things, anybody who ever was guilty of any of these things cannot go to heaven. That's not what he's saying. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So he's talking about people who were unrighteous, but who have been made righteous, as I explained earlier. It's not that people who are self-righteous go to heaven. That's the idea that some people have, but that's exactly wrong. It is that unrighteous people go to heaven when and only if they have first acknowledged their sinfulness and gone to Jesus Christ for the cleansing of their sins. And when a person has been cleansed of their sins by the saving grace of God, then their hearts are changed, their lives are changed, their desires are changed, and they don't live the way they used to. Again, please don't misunderstand me or put words in my mouth. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about habits of life. I'm talking about a lifestyle. And Paul is very, very clear about this. And he goes through this whole list of things and says, people who are living in that kind of lifestyle are unregenerate people, and they will not inherit the kingdom of God. That really needs to be understood. That needs to be proclaimed. Now, we've already looked at the first two. Fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a broad word for sexual immorality in general. Idolaters, secondly on the list, will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's because you can't go to heaven trusting any other religion except trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. And so there is no other way. This broadly accepted idea in the world today that there are many roads to heaven, and there are many good religions, and it really doesn't matter which one you follow as long as you follow it sincerely, is a lie of the devil, designed to send people to hell. It does matter. There's only one way. That's through Jesus Christ. And so idolaters, that of course describes the religious practices in Corinth, the whole city was given to idolatry, to false religion, to many different idols, many different false gods. It doesn't matter which one. Any of them will lead you to hell. All of them will lead you to hell. And so unless you have turned from your false religion and turned to Jesus Christ, then you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's item one, fornicators. Item two, idolaters. Item three, adulterers. Adultery is a sub-point under fornicators. Adultery is a specific kind of fornication. Fornication, sexual immorality in general. Adultery is being unfaithful to one's marriage vows or to one's marriage partner. Only married people can commit adultery. Both married and unmarried people can be fornicators, because that's the general term for any sexual immorality. But adultery is the more technical term, the more narrow term for those who are unfaithful to their marriage vows. And we are told here that adulterers will not inherit the kingdom of God. I wonder who I'm talking to on the radio today who right now is involved in an adulterous relationship. You are being unfaithful to your marriage vows. You have forsaken your spouse, your spouse may not even know what's going on. You may think you haven't forsaken your spouse, but you have. If you have left the sanctity of your marriage bed, the marriage bed is undefiled, the Bible tells us. It's sanctioned by God. It brings joy and delight to God. God designed marriage. God designed the sexual relationship within marriage. That's God's design. And so, marriage is honorable in all, the Bible tells us in Hebrews. And the marriage bed is undefiled. Nothing immoral about that relationship, but adulterers and fornicators, the verse goes on to say, God will judge. And he will. And this text tells us that those who live in a lifestyle of adultery will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you are a professing Christian and you are now involved in an adulterous relationship, number one, you need to repent immediately. You need to break off that relationship immediately. You need to acknowledge your sin first to Christ and then to your spouse and ask for their forgiveness. But if you are doing that, you ought to be concerned. You profess to be a Christian, but here you are living in an adulterous relationship, and up until now, it hasn't seemed to bother you enough to break it off, to acknowledge it as sin, to put it behind you, to repent of it. Up until now, that has not been your posture, or it would not be true of you that you are now in an adulterous relationship. That ought to concern you, because that attitude may be the indication of an unregenerate heart. Is it possible for a true born-again believer to fall into adultery? Yes. But a born-again believer who is currently practicing adultery doesn't have a very strong argument to plead that they are truly a regenerate, born-again child of God, you understand. When you are living in that kind of relationship, it really is impossible for you to know for sure that you have been born again, regardless of what you professed in the past, regardless of what you have thought about yourself, regardless of what others think about you. As long as you are living in unrepentant adultery, then your status as a Christian is very much in question. If you repent, if you acknowledge your sin, if you put that behind you and do not continue in that lifestyle, then undoubtedly it's because you are a truly born-again Christian. And the Holy Spirit of God is working in your life to cause you to put that behind you. But if you are not doing that, you are in a very questionable and precarious position. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.